listen to me very carefully.
You are listening to Bereft Hill Corporation, hosted by you.
My mission is to go and destroy and not to let anything get involved. You get punched, you get hurt, I refuse to be hurt, knocked down, and knocked out. I can't lose, I refuse to lose.
He's been mentioned as a possible opponent.
I take all comers, I don't duck any man.
Can we assume that Michael Gokes is one of the prospects?
All comers, come one, come all, because nobody can get close to me. They're not even close. I'm the best fighter in the world.
Yes, hello. Good morning. Or good evening, depending on where you are, part of the world, listening to the show. This show, Red Pill Hardcore, right here on RBN. I must apologize ahead of time here for the quality of my sound and whatnot. I'm on the phone, and so I had an accident yesterday. Something that seems so small can be so tremendous. Door cleaning and putting in screens to windows of my place. Some dust got kicked off into my eyes. You know, big whoop, right? Well, after doing the eye flush thing, whatever, I was okay for a few. But my eyes ended up itching like crazy, and of course, you know what happens when you rub your eyes. It becomes the most painful things in the world, and crusty and gooey and all that stuff. So I've got half my sight right now, and if I've got a wheeze, if you hear a wheeze, that's my sinuses, my nose, something's up with that. So I'm having some sort of reaction to something. No, I have not been to the hospital. I don't plan on going to the hospital, because if I do go to the hospital, the next thing you guys are going to hear is that V died from COVID-19. So, I'm trying to soldier through this. My voice is still fine, so as long as I have that faculty running at 100%, I'm going to do the show just for you guys. So, I've got my co-host here with us, the Man Wonder, Will Turbin. I'm the man, true. How you doing, Will?
Big Mike Real News in the house. Very excited about this episode. It should be very interesting. I've been trying to brush up. I know Mike is basically an expert on Nigeria, so he's going to basically command the show with you. So it's going to be a good one.
Well, I'm actually glad having this show tonight, because as you can see, I didn't put anything in the minutes. I didn't put anything in the agenda. I can't see. So I'm very glad that Mike slid through and came through for us today. As a matter of fact, Mike, if you could go ahead and introduce the guests, I would love that, please.
Yeah, sure. I'd like to welcome David Trust God Amenuko. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Correct. It's okay.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
I'm getting a bit of an echo. You might want to try to turn down your speaker. If you're on a speaker phone, you might want to just go to the handset directly. It's not too bad.
Is it okay now?
Yeah, you're good. So, I met you on Facebook. You seem like from what I understand, you're a good Christian young man from Nigeria. You're in Port Harcourt, is that correct?
Yes. I'm currently one of the major cities, Port Harcourt.
So I wanted to reach out to you. I've been talking to you for a long time about coming on and just giving us the perspective, because it's been a long time here at RBN before we've had anybody from Africa at all. We had an older gentleman that was, he grew up in Rhodesia and Zimbabwe, and he passed away quite a few years ago, and so it's been a, I think it's a blind spot in a lot of the RBN listeners' points of view. Yeah, so we're really excited to have you. We're gonna kind of have a conversation about how things are looking from your perspective over there, and you know, maybe we can answer some questions you might have. But I wouldn't call myself any kind of an expert on Nigeria. I have boned up a good bit.
I'm just teasing Mike.
Yeah, I know Will. Yeah, Will just giving me a little rub there. But I will say I have learned a lot in the last few days looking around. And I mean, I think just to start us off, I know everybody in the U.S. First of all, we got to get into the Nigerian prince scam. I think that's going to be fun to just kind of start it out and see what you have to say about that. But as people have learned over the years here in America, that Nigeria is a very up and coming, possibly. I mean, you're in the top of the countries in Africa for economy. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes, you are correct. You're supposed to be among the major in the world.
Yeah, I know y'all are looking to break into the top 20 in the world, is from what I've been learning lately, and I see what they're building on the coast there in Lagos.
Lagos.
Yeah, Lagos. Echo Atlantic, is that what it's called? The Echo Atlantic development?
Yes, correct.
Very, very amazing, just like Dubai, I believe. Or no, is it Saudi Arabia, where they're building, reclaiming the shore there, which apparently that was actually part of that, that you did have shoreline there, that, or land that was washed away, that you're reclaiming. It's not quite the same as like the islands they're literally building in the Arabian Peninsula.
Yeah, in UAE. But Dave, tell people your story first. Let's get the human connection going. What's your story? And tell us a little bit about yourself before we proceed.
Okay. I'm a Nigerian and I'm in my late 20s. I'm from one of the major tribes, Igbo. And I speak Igbo fluently. I've lived in northern part of Nigeria. And I'm currently in the southern parts. I was born and brought up in the eastern part of Nigeria. Remaining west, I will soon go to west and experience how they live there too. Life hasn't been easy for an upcoming Nigerian, especially how our economy is. You know, it's not like the same thing in the western world here. So a lot of challenges growing up, but it's been good. It's been good. I thank God for everything, at least. Perseverance, so much problem, tribalism and co-but. At least staying focused, you can come up with something good.
Very cool. Now, here as Americans, as you're probably painfully aware, if it doesn't happen in our community or within the borders of the United States, it technically does not happen to us because we're so ignorant of what occurs in the larger world. And, you know, we really never get a glance of things over there. So if you could maybe paint a picture of what you see happening in Nigeria now?
Currently in Nigeria is having a serious problem, starting from hyperinflation. If there's something more I can use to qualify it that is bigger than hyperinflation, I can say so. Now we have problem of tribalism, nepotism and religion. Most of our leaders, they don't have that good character or quality to be good leaders to take us to that promised land. So we have that issue that everybody, I'm after my family. Once you get to the corridor of power, you care only about your pocket and that of your family. It doesn't care about your society. Now we have three major tribes in Nigeria, Igbo, Hausa, and Yoruba. Then whenever an Hausa man gets to power, he only cares about his own family. He doesn't even care about his tribe as a whole or any form of development. And it has been a major problem we are having here in Nigeria, and most people don't know. We have good people, we have intelligent minds, but they don't allow them to get to the corridor of power, which is a major influence Britain has been having in Nigeria, and it's quite affecting us negatively.
Yeah, I was just going to ask a question, and you answered it for me about Britain. So you're saying that Britain has a heavy influence still in Nigeria. How does that work?
Well, actually, I was going to say, if tribalism is the problem, I mean, the tribalist would say that colonialism is the problem. Is that not accurate?
Uh, when the colonial masters, they understood the power of divide and rule. They understood that we have different cultures, different beliefs, and different orientation. They thought that if we allow these people to unite, we can't control them. So the best way is what? You divide them, you rule them. An Igbo man doesn't believe that an Hausa man knows. An Hausa man doesn't believe that an Igbo man knows. The same thing applies with the Yoruba man. Then the other majority tribes, because we have more than 700 tribes and languages in Nigeria alone. So these things, they are things that affect us. But those people that come from those tribes that rule Nigeria, even to their own tribesmen, they don't work for them. They do nothing to influence them negatively. They only care about whatever they can get. Then they ship those wealth offshore just to enjoy themselves. And it has been a major problem to us here in Nigeria.
Yeah, so you're dealing with it's the same thing worldwide, I assume, the divide and conquer, and the sort of, I mean, to just use the sort of gross term, I mean, it's the rape of the land and the rape of the resources.
Now, are you thinking that Britain is the major power player behind these things, or do people have some other motives? Are there other some people in play now too? I know China's a major player in Africa as well right now too. What does the power structure look like to you in Nigeria?
I would say that the power structure, the way it looks now, is like we have minor problems at local levels. Local government chairman, little commissioners, the little they can do, they don't do it. Then at the helm of the power, at the national level, ministers, presidents, senators, and co, you must be loyal to those Western powers, Chinese and the Britain.
Yes.
If you come to power and they discover that you are not loyal to them, that you don't want to dance to their tune, you have a major problem. You might end up being removed or being killed. So you have choice. Either you step out or you work with them. But the few, if they can decide to work with the Nigerians, Nigerians can support them. Once you give Nigerians any reason to believe in you, show them, yes, I can serve you people, I have something to offer, Nigerians can be behind you. But quite these years, since independence in 1916 till date, we haven't had that such leader. The two people that have tried, Goodluck Jonathan and his predecessor, Musa Yar'Adua, they were removed in power untimely. The other served just one tenor, and the other one got sickness just like that and died from such a disease. So the Britain has been a major influence, but currently, the few ones that are coming to power who doesn't have that much Britain influence in them doesn't want to work for the masses.
So,
I really want to get this out and get on the subject before I want to get very specific while we have the opportunity here. So I've always wanted to ask, with the whole United States being over in the Middle East, because the U.S., you know, America cares about democracy, quote unquote, and they want to bring freedom to the Middle East, quote unquote. Okay, they want to bring democracy, quote unquote. But we have atrocities in Africa, all across Africa, you know, civil wars, tribal wars, and worse crimes against humanity than what's going on in the Middle East. Yet there are no American troops to bring a democracy to Africa, quote unquote. Do you feel upset about that, or do you feel that's a whole sham?
What happened is this: America as a whole, as a government, a world power, they have that dream, they have that vision. They want to bring democracy and stability to Africa and the Middle East. But one thing you should know is this: it's not every American that is good. If you check in Africa, Africa is not developed to develop rockets, sophisticated military-grade weapons. It's somebody that is supplying them, and they are crossing through borders. And those Western and Asian borders they are crossing through, somebody sees them. They are being permitted to come into Africa, and somebody is sponsoring those terrorism, and somebody is equally gaining from them, which means whatever that is happening, they are still aware of it. For reasons best known to them, they don't want to stop it. Maybe for those capitalists that are making huge money from it, the military complex, but then that has been a major problem, because people from that side, from West, what powers, they are the ones sponsoring those things here, because Toyota, like Boko Haram in Northeast Nigeria, they use Toyota. Toyota is not produced in Nigeria. It comes all the way from Asia. It crosses through so many, two or three continents before it gets here. So this is those things that they permit them, which is equally a major problem we have. If truly America wants to bring that democracy and peace in this region and other countries, they can stop the shipment or movement of those goods, those military weapons. Then it will help greatly in curtailing such terrorism and bring democracy to this region.
Yeah, well, I want to say that.
Man, I can't talk at all. Hold on, let me ask two more questions.
Sure, go ahead.
So basically, I mean, they already have, and I'm going to say they as in, let's just say the Western world, already have their hands deep into the resources of the land, and so there's no point in bringing democracy, quote unquote, to Africa. You know, because it's not like, they've already got their pipeline, basically. Just like they're trying to have a monopoly of the Middle East. We all know that's what democracy is really about. Okay, so just to get that out of the way. Now, Africa has been in the eye of the modern world as recently for, we'll say, redevelopment. And all the big players, which are the greediest, are coming up with their plans on conquest of the continent. As Will mentioned, we got China. We got other special interest people, especially tech companies, wanting to come in and set up shop, especially in Nigeria. Now, something that I see, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but Bill Gates developed a vaccine, and Bill Gates is a eugenicist. Basically, he wants all black people to die, or at least be under a manageable number, all minorities. So he created this vaccine, which went to immediate testing in Africa. And from what I've seen, because I watch Nigerian TV, I've actually been trying to get a hold of Nigerian TV for quite some time now, with little success. But they are covering the fact that the vaccines are killing black people in Africa. What do you think about the situation? What do you see?
The issue of vaccine, it has been here, starting from that of polio. When they first brought the polio vaccine to northern Nigeria, it crippled and killed so many children, the vaccine of polio. Now, this one around now, this vaccine for COVID-19, is actually having such effect. But you know, this is Africa. Like I said earlier, we have issue of democracy here. The media houses here have been censored. There are things you don't discuss and there are things you don't say. Many people who took the vaccine here are complaining of the side effects negatively, but they are not allowed to come on air or go to any media houses, because those media houses are being paid, are being sponsored by major government powers. And those government powers are receiving money, loans, grants from the Bill Gates Foundation and other of such powerful organizations. So if you disobey them, they cut off those funds. And those are greedy politicians. They don't want those things. So they make sure that the effect of the vaccines are being kept away from the masses by censoring them from accessing the media.
Wow, they cut off the funds, you're saying. That's incredible. so you don't talk to the media. That's insane. Does everybody share your feelings about the vaccine? Or do you think if you had to take out of 100% of the people of Nigeria, how much would you say are for the vaccine and how much are against the vaccine?
The problem here is that most people don't have access to such opinion or care. We have one major problem here, which is one of the greatest weapons our politicians are using against us, which is poverty. Most people here, after they are deliberate, most people here don't have stable job or savings. What they work in a day is what they eat. So they are after their daily activities. They don't care much about the vaccine. They will tell you that it's a rich man's disease, that is not for poor masses. So they don't care. It's only ignorantly people in the northeast, northern Nigeria, because they have the highest number of poverty in the world and most uneducated people. So that's places they use it, and they don't tell them what they have been injected with. So they just inject them with those things. And a few people here who are receiving it, which we don't know if they receive it truly. So that's the most Nigerians, they don't know and they don't care. And it's not even rampant there, except those in the upper echelon, the elites who take it. But for an average Nigerian, they don't care and they don't go to hospital to check those things. They are all after their daily activities.
Sorry, V, I cut off your second question. Go ahead.
Hello?
No, go ahead, Will.
And so just on that same thing, kind of to bring it back, how would you, the same thing out of 100%, what percentage of Nigerians would view the United States in a positive light, and what percentage of Nigerians would view the United States in a negative light, in your opinion?
Viewing of United States in Nigeria is not from a technical or critical issue. United States in Nigeria is viewed from religious issue and political issue. Now, the Muslims in Nigeria, they don't see United States as a good country. They believe they support Israel and they are against Islam. Why Christians, they support US and they believe they are for Christianity. So Nigeria, US, United States of America is not viewed from the point it's supposed to be viewed in Nigeria by Nigeria. So mostly Muslims don't support the United States, Christians support. Then few in politics like PDP, the two major political powers in here, political parties here are PDP and the APC. PDP are believed to be in support of United States, why APC are believed to be against it. When Trump was in power, PDP and Christians were in support of him. Now that Biden is in power, Muslims and APC, they are in support of Biden. So that's the angle Nigeria views US, not from political, not from economic or any other angle. It's just being viewed mostly from religious angle, which is one of the major problems we are having here.
Yeah, could you maybe expand on the religion you're having there? Because I know Boko Haram is crazy. You even talked about how they're going through all these borders. To me, that sounds like maybe they're being helped by the intelligence agencies rather than stopped by them. But could you talk a little more about that, please?
Boko Haram is a major issue here. They have gotten so much ground here that they have states they are occupying, sharing flyers, giving aid to citizens living in such areas because there is abject poverty in northern Nigeria. Boko Haram are being sponsored by local and international agencies. They have access to arms. They feed properly. They live freely. And nobody cares mostly about them. And northerners will say that if you attack Boko Haram, you attack them northerners because they are Muslims. And the issue of Boko Haram, we are not a terrorist group. They started fighting for Islamic states and Islamic banks, actually, until their leaders got killed. And it was viewed from an economic and political angle. So some people hijacked Boko Haram and started using them negatively.
That's very interesting. And another thing, completely switching gears, I was hearing that they're trying to implement a biometric national ID there. And with all the problems that you're talking about, I mean, even here in the United States, that should be the least of our worries. Have you heard about that? What's your take on that? And why would they even possibly be wanting to do that?
Average Nigerians are stubborn. we have our national identification number. Most people don't have it. I have it. I did when I was in school, 200 level or thereabout. Now, they say that your national ID card and your SIM, you should link it together with your thumbprint. So they are trying to collect people's data since February. Since February, they have started postponing it. They gave us deadline from February to April. From April, now they have shifted it to 30th of June. But most Nigerians, few have done it and few have not done it. And those people that even want to do it, when they get to such centers where they carry out those biometric registration, you will see that you meet only few workers who wants to attend to hundreds, if not thousands of people. You might go there for 1 month and it will not get your turn. If you leave as early as 4 a.m., you will go there and meet people. So that has been a major challenge for those that want to do it. Because now, if you don't do it, you can't retrieve your SIM card if your phone gets lost. Or if you want to go to an institution, you must register it before they can allow you to access any school portal and look for admission.
So let me get this straight. You need a thumbprint if you lose your SIM card. And in order to get a new SIM card or new phone, you have to give your thumbprint?
No, if you lose your SIM card, if you want to retrieve your line, you need to link your national ID card for them to allow you to have access to that. Without it, you've lost it. You need to go and get a new one. And now they are not selling SIM card as of now. They halted it because of the NIN. They call it NIN registration. You link it with your SIM card. But most Nigerians, they don't care about it. Like me, I've not done mine.
I'm calling the American in Nigeria right now. We have somebody that is hacking the laws of Nigeria. Stay right where you are. There will be a drone to come pick you up and get your thumbprint and your retinal scan.
Oh, well, or drones just bomb you. listen, so... David, and speaking of the biometrics, there concerning this vaccine, once again, this vaccine has nanotechnology and something called quantum dots. Now, this is going to be something that is going to I'd be able to ID somebody genetically and to alter them genetically. Now, we have a situation where we're having the virtual European with smallpox blanket given to the Indians, you know, and committed genocide. Well, the same thing's happening here worldwide, but the focus is Africa, because Africans are not, I would say the majority, as you have stated, don't have access to education. They don't have access to opportunities for better jobs, things like that, to have better access to education. So when someone's uneducated, it's easier to pull the wool over their eyes. Me, as a black man, as an African-American, I've done my best to educate myself. You know, get my money, get in a position of some kind of authority, and trust me, the intelligence agencies hate me because of it. But they don't want people like me around. They want uneducated people to enslave. I see another enslavement coming. It's completely technological, and people are not going to see it coming. Do you have any worries about that? Do you have any? Way to at least avoid the situation yourself, maybe?
What happens is this. Talking about whatever that is the content of that vaccine, Nigerians don't know and they don't care. If someone like me that follows most of people in the U.S. that get to know that there are particles or genetical alterating articles or viruses in the vaccine here, education has been a major problem. People here are not educated. And if you are educated, what we have been taught in school, most times they are not even necessary. They are not things you need. Illiteracy has been a major player here and is still affecting us. And it will continue to affect us because most people don't have access to education And those that have access to, they don't have access to quality or good education. So it is a major problem. I'm afraid it will affect us negatively in the future, because the way things are going technologically, we are being left behind and we are still going backwards. And our education is getting worse. Our leaders here now, current leaders who had free education, most of them schooled in US and in UK during their days, had good education, and they are bad leaders. So I'm trying to compare them with the current generation who don't have access to such good education. What will be of us in the nearest future?
Well, and yeah. Wow, that's something to think about there. Well, I've got one more very important issue to cover with you this hour. I must talk about this because I haven't had a chance to on my show yet. So, because COVID-19 is basically the common cold, a little bit hyped up. Now, the release of it was not accidental, and it had been quarantined. It had been isolated and kind of taken out of the biological environment. The shadow governments did that, okay? The black ops, they did that. You know, what people are getting sick from now is the common cold with their immune systems lowered down because they have psychological trauma, which is lowering their immune system. Anyways, forget all the terrible food and terrible medicine, terrible medical care. They're backing up the numbers that would normally be flu and cold deaths. They're just backing up the numbers for COVID-19. Now, in Tanzania, the Tanzania president refused to go along with PSYOP. And it basically, I believe he was the one who did a COVID test in front of the UN on like a piece of fruit and came up positive or something like that to show everybody it was a sham. Well, in Tanzania, they were celebrating having the lowest number of COVID-19 cases around the world, in the world, lowest. And people were celebrating and people are praising the president. The president's out there with his people dancing. At the age of 61, okay, healthy, strong man. And I'm reading another article, and I'm seeing more news. Sometime after that, very shortly, I believe like 3 weeks later, he dies of a heart attack, age 61. Now, I'm an expert in assassination, okay? CIA heart attack array, most common weapon used for assassination. Now, you said yourself, though, there are people, if they aren't going with the game, they get removed. So do you see any heavy-handed influence, or is this just all assumed behind closed doors?
If you remember, given that it should be Madagascar and one other African countries that came up and said that, look, we have the vaccine, it's from herbs, we can cure it, there is no other vaccine that we have what it takes to handle it. And mind you, it's not only that man, the president, that died, his few cabinet members died too. And another one is a Tanzania president. He was killed. He died too after that event. And mind you, other things that contributed, this same president, China wanted to ship out some of their natural resources. He stopped their plane, said they are not leaving his country with his natural resources. That if they so care, want to explore their natural resources, they should build refineries in his country and refine them there. You watch, after these scenarios, the man died of heart attack. His cabinet members died. Tanzania president followed suit. Then they brought new leaders. New leaders came on board and they started having COVID-19. I can't say that they are related or not, but as humans we are, you discover that there are things that are connected to it. Coming to Nigeria, we are all having new cases every day. But Nigerians, being smart and curious people, we always ask them to show us isolation centers, show us the patients. We have not seen, we only see numbers on TV every day that this person has it. Whoever that died, they say it's COVID-19 that killed the person. I was a classroom teacher before I quit and went into business. One of my students from Northern Nigeria, her grandmom died. A woman of about 90-something or 100 years, thereabout, she died. She was very ill. She has been ill for years now. She finally died, and they said that it was COVID-19 that killed her. So you see, the stories here have been cooped up. And those patients, they say they have COVID-19. We have asked for their video, for their pictures. We have not seen any. Nobody here has a relative that has been confirmed positive. You only hear it on TV or when a prominent someone dies. They say it's COVID-19 that killed them. There was even a time that some people that were in an isolation center were fighting because of food. And so we are crying that they have not been fed. So that's how it is here. And those three leaders that kicked against it early last year, against the COVID-19 and its vaccine, and claimed there are no such thing in Africa, currently none of them is still in power. And those that are fortunate to be alive, they have been removed. But the unfortunate ones, they have been removed from power. And they are not even alive.
If you were to speculate, who do you think are the people that are pulling the strings? Because there's definitely more than one coincidence there. And when you have so many coincidences, it doesn't tend to be a coincidence.
We can't just say. No one knows. We are just speculating. No evidence of anyone or any organization. Like as we said, as we were told, most of them died of heart attack or accident. So that's what we have for now. We can't just make any accusations because we don't have any evidence.
Wow, this, well, is, this is surprisingly surprisingly similar to what we're experiencing here, and I'm sure V in Poland's the same. This is eye-opening for sure.
Eye-opening.
But not surprising, but I guess I should say.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes you realize that all over, you know, for a while I'm an activist here and I was thinking about, the people over here hate me. Maybe if anything, I could always go to another country and raise kids and ride off into the sunset. But COVID-19 made me realize that there's no running, man. Unless you want to go, I'm not an outdoors type of dude, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not moving out to Alaska or none of that, you know what I'm saying? So you can't run anywhere, man. Everywhere is like it's the same game plan, the same rules, and it's really scary how it's rolled out on this global level. We're really here in the New World Order. That's my opinion. One of the things is it's very closely divided between Muslims and Christians. Where do you see the future of faith going in Nigeria? Do you see one of the faiths rising? Do you see both of them dropping off? Or do you see one of them gaining dominance? What's your take on that?
If you check the issue of religion here, when you go through what is being written in Bible and Quran and what is happening in Nigeria, none of them is practicing the religion. Our leaders, all of them have church they attend to, and they are even leaders in their local churches. The same thing applies with the Muslims. But they don't exhibit any of those characters of what is being written in the holy books. And their religious leaders, I don't know what they are teaching them. But the issue of religion is fading off because most Africans are going back to African tradition, the African religion, our ancestral ways. Because when the religion came, many people has embraced it, but a time came, it started failing. The issue of Islam, most of the northern leaders who are rich, they send their children to Western world to go and study. And most of them, when they go there, they start living Western life. And when they come back here, to meet up is very hard. You know, Muslims, they call their prayers 4 a.m., 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. Now, most of those northern leaders, that their children have gone to Western countries to study, they start clubbing. Somebody that came back from club by 4 a.m., the person can meet up about going to prayer early in the morning. So that's a major issue. And religion in Nigeria is mostly practiced by the poor masses. When someone gets the kind of financial level, they start viewing religion from another angle. It's the poor masses that carries religion that takes it to the extreme, which is very prevalent in northern Nigeria, because there we have most poor people. And whatever their religious leader tells them, that's what they work with. They believe that's the only truth. But those of them that are educated and has gotten away from this level of poverty, they have different angle, different orientation about religion. But in future, well, I can't say for now. Let's see what happens. But I know that once the issue of poverty is being sorted out here, religion will have a major problem in Nigeria.
Do you see an opportunity with the poverty aspect? Do you see that getting better? I mean, I know there's a lot of businesses moving into Nigeria. Do you see that becoming more and more jobs? And there's a lot of startups there, too. It looks like the economy is bright. Do you think that will translate over to the ordinary citizen?
We have a very large market size. That's why China is fighting to dominate Nigeria. Very, very large market size. And Nigerians, we are hyper-consumers. But it's, from what is on ground, I think it will not be so, because, one, we have power issue. We don't have steady lights. Which businesses need? Buying gas to power their plants is a very major expenses for them. Then, secondly, we lack security. These are the two major things that attract investors and helps businesses to flow and alleviate people from poverty. Power, electricity, and security. That's why Ghana is being ahead of Nigeria. Now, even Ghana's currency is bigger than that of Nigeria currently, because they have this relatively stable electricity and there is security there to an extent. So if things are like this, the issue of poverty is getting worse, because our currency is getting devalued on a daily basis. And there are no industries or companies that are being opened to help create job opportunities, or even the job opportunities that are available, workers are not being paid the way they are supposed to be paid. Most of our money goes to the politicians' salary and allowances.
And now...
Well, I really want to say, I'm kind of surprised with the state of the wealth there in Africa, because I actually watched a documentary not too long ago about the quote-unquote rich elite in Africa. Now, it talked about how the rich elite would build fancy new homes, you know, just across the street or on the other side of a river, where you have the impoverished people who are just basically sleeping on the streets. And I'm going to say, these African rich elites aren't that rich. The documentary actually focuses around a rapper. And he carries stacks of cash, and he'll hand out money to people randomly. He helps his community, which is really cool. But I'm saying the house that he bought, and it's like, is that it? He paid $600,000. This huge house in the rich elite neighborhood. The creme de la creme. $600,000. That's what your average American is paying for a house right now. Your average American. So, I think that's kind of... That's a little sad. I think there's not a balance in any of this wealth. Even when they want to claim that we do have money. We don't. Not unless you're an American, I guess. I mean, how do you feel about the rich elites in Africa? I guess that should be my question. That aren't a part of any of the corrupt establishment, like your entertainers and your athletes. So, are they doing anything to better Africa in any way?
Well, most of them, they don't. They don't care. They only show off what they have, their work on social media. So the poor masses, the youths who are not focused, they take to crime and cyber crime, looking for who to dupe or go into ritual. You see kids, young boys, using their parents' or girlfriends' pants for ritual. So all sorts of things, using their mom, their family members for ritual just to get rich, and they die suddenly. So most of these wealthy people you see, they don't care about their poor masses. Except my tribe, in Igbo. Most of the projects in my ancestral land, that's Eastern Nigeria, is not carried out by the government or our politicians. It's by Igbo men who have traveled, because we are all over the world. There's a saying, anywhere you go, you don't see Igbo man live. There's a bad omen there. So most of these, my tribesmen, when they travel, go abroad or go other parts of the world, they make money, they come back, they build roads, build hospitals, they give them title. We just do it for a sort of a pride or a sort of feeling fulfilled in achieving something or helping your community. But aside that, most of our rich people, they don't help. Rather, they look for people that will worship them. They give you change. You come back the next day. But saying, let me help this one, let the person stand up, is usually very, very difficult. Except what we call a Eba boy in Igbo language. You serve your master for some years. You live with him. They teach you trade. At the end, they settle you and set up your business for you. So those, most of these are athletes, and they don't care, because most people, they have lost hope in Nigeria. They don't believe that Nigeria will work again. So what they're after is just get rich, take care of their family, and that's all.
Okay.
So there's no like new Fela Kuti out there that's inspiring people. There's no new activist out there that is fighting the system in Nigeria.
That's what I'm saying. We're the activists.
They're activists, but most of the activists, they are political activists. They are not honest. You know, here we have democracy issue. You don't speak anyhow. There are ways you talk. They start digging out your past dirty lives. Before you know, police will arrest you, put you in jail, or they will blackmail you. Or what they usually do for, they try to buy you off. If you receive pay, that's all. But if you refuse to collect the pay they are giving you, they start chasing after you. So those activists mostly here, they don't have that freedom to express themselves. Even if you have, it's to an extent. There's an extent you get, they will come after you. It's either you bend and follow them, or you stop, or they might even kill you. So it depends. And it's not that easy here, because we don't have that freedom of speech and other things, especially in this current regime we are in now.
Wow, so you're saying all I have to do is, if I want to make money, is go to Africa and say, yay, hey, activists here, I'm about to start exposing stuff, get paid, and move on to the next area, and do it all over again?
if you are lucky not to get killed in the act.
Yeah, exactly. As if you can survive. Man, this whole thing just is such a microcosm of the whole world. I mean, it's like, yeah, as soon as they get this, they find this gem, you know, all of this African natural resources and people, that power that everybody has in themselves, they exploit it so fully. And it sounds to me like, for Nigeria specifically, that this is a like a command and control, full on laboratory, you know, from the vaccines all the way through to just how the economy seems to be laid out there, and such such corruption all out in the open. You know, and over here they lie to us and they tell us things and people seem to buy it. It sounds like there, as David is saying, that most people just don't care. They're busy literally surviving. But then there's that wealth at the top, and as he's saying, it seems like you can't even determine who are these people. And I'm wondering if there's any knowledge of, like, Zionism. What did you say?
Well, I'm surprised actually that he said, and the people that do get rich die suddenly.
Yeah. It's like you better get in, get out quick. I mean, I've read a bunch of stuff online from people that are Nigerians abroad, and they would like to. They're trying to, like, on Reddit, for instance, they're asking, hey, you know, I'm finishing my postgraduate work here in the United States, and I want to go back to Nigeria, and I want to you know, start a business, and I want to be successful. And everybody, I mean, literally everybody is like, okay, it sounds great, smells really bad. Like, please don't do it. If your family, like, he's like, my dad says I shouldn't come back. And it's like, yeah, you should listen to your dad. You know, you can try it. But as David is saying, I mean, you're really rolling some loaded dice over there. And I mean, you're talking, you know, the violence, they had, you know, the gunmen just roaming around, and I read about I guess it's cattle herders that are causing a lot of a conflict in the more rural areas, I guess, where they're moving through sort of nomadically, and then the locals are having to deal with it. And then, of course, there's, you know, you're going to have conflict, but it just sounds like, I mean, it's all the way to the extreme. I mean, you're talking level 9,000 here of what, like, your worst fears are for an American who's awake. And I mean, David, you are the most awake person I think I've heard in a long time. I mean, you've got it all, you see it, and that's why I wanted to have you on. This is impressive, but it's also very scary and sad, and I'm like, I'm emotional about this. This is kind of overwhelming me, honestly.
Yeah, you see, Nigeria is, I know people have heard that Nigeria is rich, but what you had is just a preamble. Nigeria is so wealthy that those that are holding Nigeria, then they know that if Nigeria stands, no country in the world can stand Nigeria. Nigeria is so wealthy. I lived in Niger State in northern Nigeria. Basically, when rain falls, you will see pieces of gold on the streets coming out from the soil. So that's how rich and how blessed Nigeria is. But those that are in charge, that knows that if this country stands, we have problem. They make sure that they do everything possible to suppress this country so that it doesn't stand on its feet. But I hope and I pray that one day that things will get better.
I think Texas should make Nigeria their sister nation, and we should work together, because I know there are a lot of ties already due to the oil. I know y'all don't have the refineries, and I'm going to Google Maps, and I'm seeing the shipwrecks just all across the beach there in Lagos, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's just part of the landscape. There are the shipwrecks. And I hear that they're stealing, you know, they understate how much oil they have in a tanker, bring it into port, you know, say they have 12 million barrels, yep. 10 million barrels, and then they'll stash 2 million barrels in some shipwreck somewhere. And, you know, wow, I mean, just the wealth, but the lack of infrastructure, apparently. And then the vultures just all over. I don't know if you're familiar with the economic hitman. This sounds like this is...
It's justification. I think it's continental gentrification.
Yes, yes.
And
divide and conquer and gentrification on the global scale.
Well, I ask you also, David. I mean, now from my point of view as African American, I mean, look at history. You know, when there are wars going on there in Africa, they enslaved. These Europeans had to have. And the Americans had to have the best of the best. Now, they enslaved the engineers, they enslaved the politicians, they enslaved the military leaders, and people of the higher class, all immediately taken anywhere they could and brought to America and made slaves. Now, from a social engineering aspect, do you think that weakened Africa as a whole?
I don't get your question, please.
Okay, I'll try to rework this. Back in the American slave trade, okay, the American slave trade, all the slaves... I would say most of the slaves that were really sought after, that were really prized by the Europeans and the Americans in the slave trade, were the Africans who were of upper class descent. So your engineers, your politicians, the, you know, whatever monarchy, and your military leaders were all enslaved first and brought over to America to become slaves. Now, from a social engineering aspect, do you think that that had an effect, a negative effect, on the way Africa, it came, you know, basically has brought Africa to the point it is today from a social engineering aspect? I mean, you take away leadership and you just have the people without leadership. So that weakened Africa.
No, it never, and it didn't. I will ask, have you read about the Nigeria-Biafra War, the Civil War? If you haven't, do some research on it. My amiibo, as I said, Mo wanted to fight for Biafra freedom. Fight issued for 3 years. No foreign aid, nothing. We built our own airports, built our own rocket interceptors, built our own armored tanks locally. We refined oils locally here. And we fought, they say it's Nigeria. We never fought Nigeria because those Northerners, they couldn't stand us. It was Britain and other European powers that were behind them. We fought them for 3.5 years until they cut off our food supply. That was when Kwashoka came and we gave in the baton. What I'm trying to say is that those elites, those professionals that were taken from Africa during slave trade never affected Africa, because still today we are still producing more inborn genius and leaders. But the problem is how to harness those experts, how to harness those talents. Like I said, I was a classroom teacher. You see kids, naturally they are gifted. They can build things. Go to our universities, go along the street, you will see talented kids that can do things that only people who have read for long in chemistry, physics, maths, and biology can do. So those leaders, they were not taken away from us. Yes, those experts were taken, but we are still producing more and more till tomorrow. But the problem is who will harness those talents and put them into practice, because along Nigerian streets, go to communities, you will see experts, gifted people who are dying of poverty, died with their dreams. No way to harness those dreams. That's the problem we are having, how to harness them. But if it's that of leadership, we are still producing great leaders and great minds in every field of life.
Okay, great answer. Well, I had always wondered, because something that my family was able to do over the years was keep a little piece of our history. And I myself can trace my bloodline back to African prince. So I wonder what my life would be like if the whole slave trade didn't happen. So, but anyhow, I would like to tell everybody, you know, stay tuned. Because we're going to come back from the top of the hour. We're going to get more questions. I'm not sure if we're going to take callers or not. We've got tons of questions for this man. But if you do want to call in, phone number is 800-313-9443. And I'm sorry, I don't have the other number up.
I got it. 512-248-8252.
Yeah. There you go. And yeah, guys, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.